Welcome to the Turned Up Life with Renee Lynn, where I help you attract your dreams and goals and live the life you've purposefully designed. Welcome to the Turned Up Life with Renee Lynn. I am so excited to be introducing my guest speaker today here. Her name is Jess Ernst, and she is from the Maryland, DC, Virginia, that Northeast neck of the woods. I'm so excited to get to know her. I met her through a business partner and friend of mine, and she has so much background in the nutrition and wellness industry as a certified nutrition and wellness coach for over 10 years. She has been in luxury real estate. She has three beautiful children. She just launched her podcast at Low Talks. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about her life journey, some of the bumps along the way, some of the challenges, and those defining moments where she chose to make very conscious decisions to design, or what sometimes we call redesign, our life. And so welcome, Jess.
Hi, Renee. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to share my story a little and hope to inspire others.
Yes, that's why we're here. It's just, you know, I wake up every morning and I say to myself, who is one person that I can inspire today? And really a reason for our podcast. I know that's a reason for your podcast. And as you are breaking out into the next phase of your life, just really being able to share things that you are passionate about, you find purpose with. And isn't that the beauty of, I don't know if it's the second half of our life. Some people tell me we have our life comes in thirds, and that I'm in my third part here at 62. But tell me a little bit about kind of where you started out in your life, and what was that first moment? Was it in your 20s, your 30s, where you started designing your life very consciously, and you started realizing that you could?
I feel very blessed at this point in my life. I have been through, I'm sure, as most of us humans go through a lot of ups and downs, challenges, and so on. I guess my background originally, I grew up in Northern Virginia. I've been in Northern Virginia my whole life, and I'm still here. So it's kind of uncommon, I think, for this area. It's a very transient area here in DC. But I did go to college for a year at George Mason University. And at that time, my parents had a kind of a blooper of a new baby. And so, you know, at the ripe age of 17, it was now like fully my responsibility to fund my own college and figure out my life. You know, my home was not exactly a positive place growing up. And we had a lot of, you know, turmoil, trauma, I want to say addiction, alcoholism, and things like that. So, you know, I was the oldest of three kids with my sister kind of on the way at that time. She was born when I was 16. So I left for college when I was 18. And my grandmother, who had raised me for the most part, had passed away in my second semester of college. And it was really devastating. At the time, I had been going to church and was very spiritual in a sense of like making a commitment to my church and to God. And after she passed, I really had a hard time with God. It was a big deal. So I would say that was like a first inkling of like how quickly your inside, your spiritual self can change. So, you know, trying to truck through like putting myself through school, then going to community college, I realized that really it was just like, it was all me. And, you know, at that point I was having a hard time even relying on God because I was so angry that he took my grandmother away. And just so happened that my boyfriend had proposed to me and we were both very young, but as we kind of progressed and I was working and going to school and he wasn't really doing much, I was like, you know, this just isn't for me. Like, this isn't the right thing. And that's when I was like, why am I just continuing to be in this relationship? I mean, we had dated for 5 years. We were kind of high school sweethearts, but I was like, why am I doing this? Like, this doesn't even feel right, you know? And I would say that was my first big like personal decision that I was like, you know what, this is not this is not going well. I can't do this or subject myself to this anymore. And lo and behold, you know, it turns out that, yeah, I was right. Like, he really wasn't the person for me. So I, you know, went on into more of the business side of work and working in financial services, loan operations, things like that. And, you know, again, that was not really, it wasn't something I loved, but it was something that paid my bills because I decided to move out of my parents' house and live on my own and do everything on my own. And I mean, I really was empowered, you know, just even for the sense of like, knowing that if I wanted something, like I'd have to go out and get it myself. Nobody was going to be there to hand it to me and nobody was there to help me, you know. Fast forward a few years, I actually met my husband who, you know, as I've shared, passed last year from melanoma cancer. And, you know, we had a wonderful marriage and three children. I mean, wonderful in the sense of, you know, we were committed to one another, but, you know, as everyone I'm sure who's married, no marriage is perfect. And there's always something, right? There's always something to get through traumas that, you know, each of us had endured as children and trying to even like help each other, like realize and get through them without knowing what we were kind of doing. We did what we could do. I was supporting him in his business of military intelligence, and he became very successful in that business and in the military intel community. But lo and behold, after having three children within 5 years, I felt very lost and that I was really just there now supporting him. So I went from like the codependent household to a codependent relationship to a codependent marriage and just always giving, giving, giving. There was a point in our marriage after my third child that I was like, I am clearly not happy. I was a career woman when I met my husband and he had a big problem with me going back to work. He told me, I mean, straight up, like, I think you're going to go back to work so that you can leave me. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's not the case. Like, I need more than just this. Like, I know many women are happy with raising a home, raising children, and I was too. However, I also felt I was very alone in that. And I wasn't sure like how I was going to rebuild myself once my kids grew up and once they were having their own lives, right? And my husband had his own life with his business and his, you know, whole endeavors, which I had supported him all along the way. So, I mean, I think that was like a turning point. Like when my son was maybe one or two, my youngest, I was like, you know what, I'm going back to work. And that's when I found a local diet and nutrition center. And at the time I had been actually doing like some work from home supplement and shake companies and had done a very good job actually just through my network of friends and whatnot selling these products. And I found like people were really interested in hearing what I had to say because they would look at me and be like, wow, you have three kids. Like, how did you do this? And how do you look like that? And like, how are you maintaining all of this? Even considering like they knew that my husband was always traveling and working and just not really present throughout that particular time in our marriage and in our lives. And I mean, you know, in his defense, I mean, he wanted to support us and he wanted to live his dreams and support his whole family as well. Like he wanted to do those things in addition to helping the country. It was a very poignant time in the country and with terrorism and things that were going on in the world. And he felt like, you know, he could make a difference. And he did. I mean, he really did. His company made such a huge impact within the intel community and had saved many, many lives. And all of the while, like, I'm like, oh, where did you go last week? Oh, I saw it on the news today that this and that and the other happened. So I'm guessing that's what you were up to, you know? So I don't know. We lived this life of like very private privacy, and he didn't want me to be out there. He didn't want me to put my name out. And for our safety, you know, he was trying to protect us. And he was trying to keep us out of the limelight because of the nature of the work that he was doing. But all the while, I just felt so called to be out there, to be coaching, to be helping others. And like, you know, this is kind of around the time when Facebook was, you know, getting more popular. And I'm like, I had a lot of people approaching me like, hey, do you want to do Mrs. USA or Mrs. Virginia or whatever? And, you know, I made really great contacts in, you know, health and wellness and the community and working at the diet center with our mutual friend, Jennifer Seven. It was tough for me to have to be like, well, no, I'm sorry. And no, I can't really do that. And he wasn't really into it. And he wasn't really supportive of any of that, you know? And I think part of it was just the fear, right, of keeping us safe. And then the other part was what he later shared was the fear of me like abandoning him. It was just an interesting time at that point where I was like, there's got to be more than just this. And not that I didn't want to do what I was doing for him and raising my children, but I really just felt a calling. And I mean, I did, in fact, like do very well in my coaching business and working with Jennifer. And then I moved on to a local integrative medical practice where we had four locations here in the DC area. And I continued to work that despite our finding his diagnosis with the genetic melanoma. And I did what I could to support, you know, those around me. And I was proud of myself, you know. I guess I came to a point where I knew that I couldn't like keep burning the candle at both ends, because I was also now supporting him through immunotherapy treatments, several, you know, surgeries to his neck, head, his body, you know, and it was like every couple of months of just stuff that we'd have to deal with. So ultimately, he had decided to make some things happen with his company, and I was able to like stop working just for not needing the funds for the household. But, you know, we really lived paycheck to paycheck, you know, for years. And the work I was doing, it was contributing. So it did make me feel good to do that. And that's when I was like, you know what, it's okay. Like I've learned what I needed to learn to support him, to support my own health. I mean, I had my own health challenges. I lost my gallbladder when my youngest was three. And that was like, that was very scary. It was just because I had like full on leaky gut and I was septic and my gallbladder just couldn't handle it. And actually at the time I was doing bodybuilding competitions, surprisingly enough. And I think that's kind of like what pushed it over the edge was, you know, having to do these extreme programs that my body just clearly wasn't equipped for from the inside, but I didn't know that at the time, you know? So it took me losing the gallbladder to like really be like, whoa, this is crazy. And as I like progressed in the integrative space, you know, I did all my own testing and realized, ooh, there's this thing called candida and all these like gut overgrowths and all these like things that really, I think over time had contributed to like that whole scene with my own health. But little did I know I was going to need all that information later to support my husband, you know, through his cancer treatment. So that's kind of a long-winded story. And there were many moments in there that I was like, you know what, no one else is going to do this for me. And I'm almost thankful that like God, unfortunately, as we're going through it, it sucks. Like you're in the dark, like you're in the dark, you feel alone. It's very, very scary. And even at that one point after my grandma passed, like I turned from God, but I remember clearly in my home in Leesburg while I was, you know, married with my husband and going through all of that hardship, I remember one day just breaking down in the shower and being like, I'm so sorry, God, that I like turned from you, you know?
We all have those defining moments. And it sounds like, you know, along the way, there were a lot of things. And your story is very, like, I hear it over and over again, like little different pieces, obviously, along the way. But, you know, like last week, I interviewed Kylie Perkins. And again, her husband was in the military. She felt very alone, wanted to do something that was her own. And I think it's definitely like you brought up some triggers for your husband in abandonment area.
Yeah.
But you both were attracted to each other for maybe that background that you both had. You know, abandonment was definitely one of the things that I have worked on since forever, since my 20s. But I love that, you know, you're able to kind of take a long look at it and say, you know, here were areas and segues. And we all have that journey that brings us to different places. You and I both had that journey that brought us to the health and wellness business. Yeah. And it's a very purposeful place to be. Like when you can not only have your own story of getting through your own health challenges, you're able to know that it can be done. And so many people don't believe that they can do that for themselves, I guess, is what I want to say.
I mean, until like you're really faced with it, right? Like now I know, like your teacher is quiet while you're taking the test, you know? And I really believe that like in those times, that's what was building my faith. because I would always come out the other side with the sun rising, you know, and I could always just find a way. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think,
Yes. I get your tears. I do, because, you know, ultimately it's funny, because when you're facing that challenge for the first time or the first couple of times, you know, like with your grandma, you were like, okay, well, obviously, you know, I'm mad at you, God, because that isn't the way I wanted this to go. Like, that was your, you felt like he betrayed you. But in reality, he was saying to you, like, okay, now you're on your own. And your grandma, you know, think about all the things that she gifted you, and now take those gifts and bring them forward and help others with them. And you clearly have helped a lot of people on your way. I love that you started working from home when you had a three little ones. Like, there's so
I was
many
determined.
moms. No, there's so many moms that are going to listen to this and go, I need to do that. Like, I've been wanting to do that, but should I? And, you know, even though your husband said, I don't want you to do this, you did it anyway. How did all of that work out?
I mean, he just eventually accepted, like, he surrendered to it. Cause I was like, listen, there's no choice. You don't have a choice. Like, I've been here and doing this for you, and now this is what I'm really feeling I need to do. And, you know, he did see me doing the work from home and promoting my business from home, and he saw that I was successful. So I know he was an engineer and, you know, a mathematician. So, like, that to him was like, okay, well, maybe this is good. Like, maybe she can help. And, like, then all the pressure is off of him of, like, providing for the family so that he could continue with his business and not have to take money out of the company or try to, like, sell shares or dividends or whatever it was, you know? So I think he, like, kind of gave in a more practical sense. And once he knew that it was local and that it wouldn't take away a lot of time, like, from the weekends, he eventually just got used to it, you know? And it's okay. Like, it worked out. And when I moved on to the integrative place, I think he was even more like, whoa, like, oh, actually, she's really, like, serious about this, you know? And I had gotten some certifications and stuff and along the way, so he saw I was also trying to educate myself and, like, make myself work with more integrity and just some background and foundation for my patients. So, you know, I think he was proud of me over the years, and you know, he was a very different person. He was European and raised in a home that was very strict and very, like, you must do this and everyone's watching and you're the eldest, you have to carry on the family name and all of this. So, I mean, that all was very ingrained in him, you know? So at a point too, I understood where he was coming from as well. So there were a lot of late night conversations and letters even we would write between one another, because we even couldn't talk about things without going in circles at certain points. So that did actually work for us. If
I
that
love
could
that.
Be an idea for people, like, we would just write letters and just write openly to one another and then have time to process the other person's feedback before we would respond. And you could respond in a letter or you could respond in a conversation, you know.
I
we
love
did seek
that.
Therapy, you know, and it worked, like, it worked, but it took both of us to, like, push ourselves individually and push one another. And it's not comfortable. Like, you had to be really comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Isn't that life, though? Isn't that life? Like,
well, I find that in every aspect now. Like, when looking back, it was like, wow, like, all of these pieces of the puzzle now are fitting of, like, that I had to go through these exercises in life in order to now, like, get to where I am now and be able to push through my own personal limitations and boundaries and my fears, and, like, understand that the fear is just, it's not real, you know, it's just an emotion, like, it's gonna pass, you know.
Do you feel like you look forward to the uncomfortable? Because I can tell you that I'm so clear that the uncomfortable is gonna make me level up, and I'm gonna be really happy with my leveled up self. Like, I'm gonna be happy going to the next phase. Like
Yeah.
even in my 60s, I feel that way. And I think that's where we let fear, like, you know, I think there's a book called Do It Scared
Yeah.
or something like that. You know, there's a lot of fear, you know, like get over your fear of things. But it's like I golf a lot. So like once I know that I can get over the lake, then I can do it over and over and over
Every
again.
time. Right.
Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly. And so let's kind of move forward to, sadly, your husband left the family and
Yeah.
is watching over you from a different place
Yeah.
and still protecting you. But I mean, how old were you when you got married?
I was 24.
Oh my gosh, you were so young. And
Yeah,
then
I was
to
so
like,
young.
now
And
you're on your
we had our
own.
daughter at, I was 25 when I had our first, and then I had the third by the time I was 30. And then it was just raising the three kids, you know, for all through my 30s, basically. Rudy was diagnosed with cancer in 2017, originally with like the first melanoma spot. And then as we progressed and found more melanoma, we realized that it was genetic. So it wasn't just like a preventable thing, unfortunately. You know, I mean, we went through the 5, 6 years of just his recovery from the initial, and then he was doing great, and the immunotherapy was great. And Johns Hopkins, we worked with Dr. Evan Lipson. He was fantastic and really was just the best doctor for Rudy that we could have asked for. And he actually crossed the 5 year mark of like, yay, all clear. And then boom, we did a routine scan and they found a little nodule in his lung, you know, as opposed to it on the skin. And at that time, it was too small to biopsy. We had to wait a few months and just monitor it. And then once we biopsied it, yes, it was confirmed it was the malignant, you know, melanoma. And it just spread rapidly after that. After we started immunotherapy the second time, it took no time at all. And he had over 50 tumors all in the inside of his body. So it was just like, we didn't have time. But, you know, it's like within the 5 years since he was diagnosed, I felt like it was very interesting. We had a completely different marriage. It was like a whole second marriage, totally different than the first. And he decided at that time he wanted to sell his company so that we weren't having to live paycheck to paycheck anymore, and that he could feel secure in, you know, our financial stability if he should pass. So, you know, we did all the right things. We traveled with the kids, like we did everything. We didn't hold back. We bought a new beautiful house. We built a beautiful like a backyard escape. We forged our way through the kids getting into their private schools that they wanted to go to, and you know, all these elite sports, and the kids are amazing, you know. So we did everything we could to support them and to support our family. So I know that Rudy, you know, told me, you know, in his final like months that he didn't have any regrets. Like he lived a very full life, even though he was just a mere 52 when he passed. But he said the saddest was just leaving me and the kids. But everything else, like he set out to do and we set out to do together, like we did it. We accomplished it. And it's almost like, yeah, of course, the cancer was the darkness, but it also brought this light, you know, to our lives and a new realization and a new perspective and a new way of living. You know, at that time, after he had been diagnosed, and I went through like the first year or two of the cancer treatments with him, and my son actually was diagnosed with a very rare blood disorder as well during that time. So I was supporting him through Children's Hospital as well. I was really depressed, like at the end of that 2 year stint. And I was like, man, what am I going to do? And talk about like being fearful. I was like, well, I got to find something because I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to play soccer. I don't want to do yoga. Like, I don't want to do any of this stuff anymore. And I'd always been an athlete. So it was like very alarming for me to wake up in the morning and be like, yeah, well, screw all this, you know? So I ended up thinking, and my grandmother at one point, my mom's mom had told me she used to ballroom dance like in her 30s to meet people after she got a divorce and like get exercise and whatever. And I'm like, ballroom dance, like I love dancing with my friends out in DC, but certainly that's not going to work with three kids and supporting my husband through cancer. I'm like, okay, let me just look this up. Maybe there's something more professional, like I can actually like learn it, you know? And that's when I found, you know, the studio like 10 minutes from my house, and I was scared. I just called and I was like, so I was thinking about just trying some of this out. Like, do you have something for me? And they're like, yes, please come in. We have two lessons for $75 or whatever, and like just come try it. And I remember like the first couple of the first 6 weeks I went in there to get my lessons, I was so scared. I mean, and I'm not a perfect person. Like I was so fearful. I would literally like take a shot of tequila or two before I'd go there, just so that I'd have the balls to walk through there and be able to like.
I love that.
I don't know
I love
why.
That.
I don't know why it scared me so bad, but I just was like, okay. And then, you know, I started getting into it, and my instructor in the studio was like, you're really good. Like, you don't understand. You're so tall. Like, you have the perfect dancer's body. And I was like, yeah, you know, I always wanted to dance when I was a kid. So I'm trying this out because like, I'm depressed and I need to do something with myself. And so there I was like doing my first competition, and I was shaking in my bones, shaking on the side of that dance floor when they were calling our heat number. And I'm like, hyperventilating. And then once I got through everything, I was like, oh my God, I did it. I was smiling the whole time. Like, it was great. And like you said, like, once you do this and go through your fear, step into the fear and like do it, after a few times of it, it like got a little easier, a little easier, a little better. I started progressing in my dancing, and now I compete nationally, and I compete more in an independent network as opposed to one of the little, you know, showcase boxes. So little did I know that it would lead me to this point of like, again, having something of my own. My husband at the end was very supportive, and he came to my competition. Like, he was very proud of me because he also was scared out of his mind to try to do it too. So then once he tried a couple, he was like, no, this isn't for me, sweetie. You go ahead and do it, you know?
You know, I have had a couple of times in my life, one recently, and then when I got divorced in 2007, where depression can just take you over. Like, you know, when we got on this podcast, you were like, having a busy day is really good for me in a positive way. And I was thinking, yeah, absolutely. Like, my ex-husband just passed, and my young boy, you know, he doesn't have a dad. And we just went through that. And actually, it was from melanoma also. And all these things come up for you, and you don't feel motivated to do anything. Like, you would much rather, you know, at least you have three kids keeping you going. I think that's what really kept
but
me
that's
going.
Sometimes
my...
stressful. Like, some, it's
well,
just a drain
it's okay.
Sometimes that you're like, what's going
no.
on? Can't I just get a break?
That's true. That's true. But I think that's what really kept me going through in 2007. You know, I couldn't just crawl in my bed. If you're feeling depressed, you know, find something that gives you strength, gives you purpose, is freeing, brings you joy.
Yes.
I think joy is the key here. And especially when you're going through a really difficult time, finding that joyful thing. And it's hard to even think about joy because honestly, I feel like people don't want you to be joyful either, especially in light of, you know, of a difficult time in your life. And so as you're transitioning out of that, and I know you moved and got yourself a, like, your home is beautiful. You have a beautiful design touch. And I know you're in luxury real estate, and we have partnered on a business project in wellness. Tell me a little bit about where you see things going and how you set your goals. Like, you live a purposeful life on purpose. So how do you keep yourself on track, and how do you keep your vision going?
Yeah, it's a great question and a great point you brought up about joy, because, you know, at a certain point, once we knew Rudy's health was declining, and even right before, he was still like in a good, like, medium state. It was kind of during coronavirus, I would say, where I was just like, you know what, if I am not, like, my peace of mind was everything to me, because I could see that the kids even responded so much better when I wasn't like hemming and hawing and whose dishes are these and why is this like this and la 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 la. So I started practicing, like, I started a gratitude practice, and I did like my three goals, top goals, every morning. And I would have to go back into my document at night and say, like, what did I do about those goals? And it could be simple things like 5 minutes of meditation, or if you don't feel like, if there's anything that doesn't bring you joy, just leave it. Just leave it. it doesn't mean you have to not do it. You could do it later when you feel better or up to it, because obviously no one else cares if there's dirty dishes in the sink, right? So fine. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to cook anymore. This doesn't bring me joy. And my husband was like, you know what? That's fine. Like, I'll cook. Don't worry about that. I'm like, okay, well, I'll do the dishes later. If everyone's okay with just leaving it and it doesn't have to be done, then when I'm happy, I will come back and do the dishes. And I found that instead of then looking at the sink full of dirty dishes as like a pain in the butt, I would approach it like, you know what? I'm so thankful for that meal and that, you know, Rudy cooked for us and that we had delicious food and able to eat and have sustenance in our belly and bodies. And I had been already practicing more of my spiritual work again and reading my Bible and, you know, just talking to God and prayer and meditation. And that was part of like my three top things every day. And so I started very small and with very simple things. And now what I found is that throughout this whole time and these years, and now moving forward, like continuing on with that practice is like my ultimate jam. Like I know that no matter what happens, as long as I can keep that in place and in order and have my faith as a foundation, that whatever happens with my kids, my businesses, my endeavors, my dancing, like it's all for God. And I know that I will receive the blessings in return. Like I just know the promises are kept. And even through these darkest times that I have been through already, the promises were kept and God was there. And I've seen things like all the little sign, all the little synchronicities, all the little things that God was just like trying to tap me on the shoulder, like, hey, Jeff, I'm here. Like, don't worry. I'd have dreams and visions and just a lot of synchronicities, songs. Like, God talks to me through all these different ways. And over the years, like, because he was quiet some of the time, when he did speak, I was like, ready. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, tell me. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to hear it. Like, please. So I was building up my intuitive sense, you know, going through the darkness, right? Then after I started the gratitude practice, I started realizing that my intuition started really catapulting. And then I was not doubting myself as much, you know, and I could really step into the fear knowing that I would come out the other side better than I did when I first stepped into it. So I do, you know, really rely on finding endeavors and finding things that ultimately are scary, because if it doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough. And then that's not for you, you know, then that's like, you need to think bigger is what the message is that I've gotten, you know, from God and along my journey. So moving forward, I'm going to keep with that energy, keep my gratitude practice. I definitely surround myself with people who are on the same wavelength. And for those that I still coach and I'm there to support, I do. But I also have set like very healthy boundaries for myself and my time and who I spend my time with, because I do 100%. Think that energy is transferable between humans and people. And you have to be very careful about protecting your own energy, because it is the new currency. Money is not anymore.
Love that. Love that. Yes. Yes. Because energy is the new currency. I love
That's
that.
Right.
Well, we've covered a lot of territory, and I feel like we're very like-minded. That's probably what brought us together. We've both been through different kinds of journeys and health journeys, and our purpose is to bring joy and inspiration to other people. So thank you for being here with me
today.
Oh my
gosh, thank you so much.
I always let my guests wrap up the episode. So if you were speaking to someone listening to this, like, maybe they're going through similar things that you have been through, what are your top three things in wrapping up this episode?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be who of me, seeing as my health coaching has kind of followed me all along the way, to not say like, really, you have to like honor your body and yourself first. So drink plenty of water. I mean, hydration is literally everything for your body. Have a gratitude or a spiritual practice. Even if it's 5 minutes, you know, just make the time to do it. Put it on your calendar, you know, as an appointment, you know, the 5 minute appointment every morning as an alarm, and boom, you got to do your prayer or meditation. Find a couple of YouTube videos that you like. It can be really simple, you know. And then three, I mean, The moments I start feeling lower vibrational energies like anger or sadness or hopelessness or whatever, I really try my best to like bring it back to love, bring it back to compassion, and it starts with the self. You know, talk to yourself like you would your best friend and be like, you know what, Jess, right now isn't you're not feeling great, and that's okay. You know, and just go get a cup of tea or just go sit outside and breathe for a few minutes. You know, have a 10 dot list of different things you can do that would raise that vibration and frequency. And maybe it's not going to fix it. Maybe you're still going to feel sad, but at least you're taking the time and honoring yourself in the process. That's what the self-love is most about. So those would be my top three things. And just, you know, do not lose hope. Like, there is hope. And, you know,
for each of us, no matter what situation you're in. Well, before we go, would you please tell our audience about your new podcast and where to find it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my new podcast is Glow Talks with Jess, as in TALKS, Talks with Jess. I'm on YouTube, and you can find me on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find me on Instagram. So I would love for everyone to connect with me there at Jess Ernst _ or Glow Talks with Jess. So I have two handles. But yeah, no, I'm super excited about the podcast. We've done 4 or 5 tapings now, and we're just going to keep on going. And you know, you're going to see a lot of everything, the dancing, the business stuff. You know, we've got pillars for success in life, and I'm trying to really cover all the bases for my listeners. So I'm so thrilled. I'm like
that.
So thrilled.
It's so exciting. And I've been watching you on Facebook. So go out and follow Jess Ernst, ERNST, and look in the show notes. Grab all of Jess's links. Thank you for being here today. If you are looking to turn up your life, you're looking to change things, you're looking to design your life, that's what I love to do. You can go ahead and book a complimentary discovery call with me and find out more about how we can work together. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, Jess, for joining me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Turned Up Life. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at Coach Renee Lynn. I'd love to hear from you, and if you have questions or need some advice about lifestyle or business mentorship, please do send them my way, and I will respond in future episodes. The Turn Up Life is produced by the good people at The Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Renee Lynn. Stay well and live a purposeful, turned up life.